Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
Amen. I'm excited to be here. Are you excited? Glory to God. We're going to look into God's word the next 1 hour. And we're still on the subject, how to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, I want to, next Thursday is going to be Encounter Night. That's the last Thursday of the month. Now, November, what's the first Thursday in November? What's the date? I know November 1st is a Saturday, so that'll be like 6th. Very good. I want to do some teaching, still under how to be led by the Spirit of God. But I think I want to start tonight, actually. There are certain things I want to teach. I want to teach on guidance through prophecy. I've mentioned that before. I want to go in depth so we really have an understanding of prophecy and prophets. And you know, these are the days that we are surrounded by prophets all over the place. Some of them call themselves prophets, not called by God. We need to understand that. Guidance through vision as well. How does God guide us through vision? But more importantly, I want to teach how to train your spirit. And of all the things I want to teach, I think I'm most passionate about that one because it's loaded. It will help if you understand it, which is my prayer. Because I'm praying that you will understand it. Understanding will make the difference. If you understand it, you know, understanding determines what you do. It also determines what you don't do. That is what you don't deliberately do. Now, if you understand this, how to train your spirit, not only will you be led, will it help you to be led by the Spirit of God, it will also help you to prosper and have good success in life. And I think that every believer should be interested in doing well. Am I right about that? God didn't save us to become derelicts and to be under the barrel and for the barrel to be on top of us. No, God wants us to be the head and not the tail in whatever you do, your academics, your business, your profession, whatever it is that you do. And it will amaze you that the Holy Spirit can teach you all things, can teach you business, how to do well in your business with integrity, maintaining your integrity and then doing well and profiting. It can help you in your academics. It can lead you to the core areas of need. It can help you in your profession. He's a problem solver. The Holy Spirit is a problem solver. I tell you, there's no problem that he cannot show us how to solve if we will allow him. And especially if we will train our spirit. Let me start tonight. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27, which has been our core text for this teaching series, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So when God wants to light up a man or a woman, the word man here is mankind. No preference for sex, whether male or female. Anybody that will yield to God. Your spirit, the Bible says, is the candle of the Lord. Now, well, when this was written, we probably can agree that there was no electricity at that time. In that generation, they were mostly agrarian. everything revolved around agriculture. In today's world, if we're to write this, we would say the spirit of man is the light bulb, the incandescent light bulb of the Lord. Because we now see, not just by candle, we see by light, light bulb. Is that right? But back in the day, the only thing that they could use in the night to show them light was the candle. The point is, we want to see. We want illumination. We want light. We don't want to be in the dark. So whether candle or light bulb, we want light. Now, when God wants to illuminate you, when he wants to give you light, when he wants you to see things so you don't go into error, you don't make a mistake. Some mistakes can cost people their lives. Driving on the highway and some people mistakenly overtake another vehicle at a wrong time, and then they have a crash and that's the end of their lives. I mean, such deaths could have been averted. But just a mistake. Now, because the Lord does not want you to make such mistakes, he will lead you by his spirit. How does he lead? He will give you light. No, that's an error. Don't do it right now. You'll see it clearly. But how does he do it? Through your spirit. Not through your brain. And not through your body. We have been body conscious. Build your body, feed your body, do whatever you want to do, exercise, do everything, that's fine. In the university, we are soul conscious. They train your mind, they jam you with information. E equals MC squared. All of that. They jam your mind with all kind of mathematical formula, quadratic equation, and whatever, what have you, right? Or even in the field of medicine, they teach you medicine, they teach you, you know, all kinds of diseases and their names and their symptoms. And as a trained medical doctor, when a patient sits right in front of you and then you ask them questions, questions will lead to answers, will lead to something, and then you can have a diagnosis. And then with further tests, you can say, oh, it is confirmed that this person has diabetes type 2, whatever it is, you know. But that's your mind, which is in your soul. Not your spirit. The spirit, for the most part in the church world, has been left untouched. And for those who say they really want to touch the spirit, some have gone into error, not doing it the scriptural way. They want to contact the realm of the spirit, but through some medium, through some means. Let me say to you, as a child of God under the new covenant, if you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. And you yourself can be led by the Holy Spirit. How does he do it? Through your spirit. So if God is going to lead me through my spirit, then I think it's important for me to train that spirit to know when God is leading. Isn't that right? And to know when it is not God that is leading. Isn't that correct? Because sometimes your emotions will get in the way, your flesh will get in the way, and it will be like, I think this is God. I'm passionate about it. It's not everything you're passionate about that is God. Where's your passion coming from? Let us not be led from the outside in. Let's be led from inside out. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14, they are the sons of God. Not as many as are led by the world. Oh, that man is doing very well in business. Let me pattern my life after him. You can learn a few things from people. That's what mentorship does. But you must be led by your spirit. Not as many as are led by their mentors, they are the sons of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, the extreme that people take these things to, even in the church, people want to have spiritual mentors, which is good. Maybe your pastor, maybe some powerful pastor somewhere. Hallelujah, praise God. But hey, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. No man should be qualified to replace the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, in your life. Did you hear what I said? No man. No man. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I love you. Tell them, look at the neighbor. Tell them, say, neighbor, I love you. I respect you, but you are not the Holy Spirit. Look at another neighbor that you love and you respect. Well, even if you didn't respect them before now, respect them tonight. Look at them and say, neighbor, I love you. I respect you, but you are not. Kumi, why don't you have a neighbor? Get a neighbor. Get yourself a neighbor. For you are not the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, your neighbor can give you advice. I'm not saying reject it. Take it and say thank you very much and subject it to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that you don't get into problems. If it is not from God, God is not under any obligation to bring it to pass. If God doesn't build something, don't expect him to help you maintain it. If you build it yourself, maintain it yourself. But if God is the one that builds it, then he has more than enough resources to maintain it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That everything that you do originates from God. Everything you do originates from God. You will sleep well in the night. You will sleep well at night because you know that God gave this to me. So why do I worry? It's like as a parent, now you have children and then you can't sleep in the night when they are sleeping. So as a parent, I can't sleep. Oh, I cannot afford to sleep. Ah, my children are sleeping. I have to stay awake. Now, such a parent will soon die because you need to sleep. And if God gave me my children, guess who is going to keep them? Come and talk to me now. If God gave you a business, who is going to keep it? Now, don't be foolish by getting into mistakes and, you know, running things by yourself and all of that. Commit your business also into the hands of God. Commit your education into the hands of God. Commit your total, your entire life into the hands of God. Now, very quickly, let me go straight into business. I'm going to show you a scripture under the Old Covenant, and then we'll come to the New. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Okay. So let me give you 1, 2, 3, 4 points. Let me give you some points and then we'll go to Joshua 1:8. Number one point on how to train. I want to talk about how to train your spirit. How to train your spirit. Number one point in the training process is by meditation on the Word of God. By meditation on the Word of God. And so we go to Joshua chapter 1. And verse 8, by meditation on the Word of God. You want your spirit to be strong, and you want your spirit to be able to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit without any iota of confusion in your spirit. Now, you have to, number one, meditate on the Word of God. And this must be daily. This must be daily, and as a matter of fact, twice daily. I have done once daily. I have done twice daily. I have seen the difference. The difference is really very wide. I can imagine those who don't meditate at all. Lack of meditation on God's word would mean that you will lack spiritual wisdom in dealing with the affairs of life. You won't know what to do in the affairs of life. You will be dependent on other people to guide you. You can make do with some guidance here and there, but there will come some circumstances, situations, decisions in your life that no man, not even your pastor, no matter how much he loves you, can tell you this is what to do. Because you are a child of God. God wants to lead you personally. Can I have an amen to that? Under the new covenant, you are not under the ministry of some prophet on the mountain who, until he says go, you cannot go. There are churches that operate that today, but they are operating under the old covenant and they are operating contrary to the word of God. They are the ones who will tell their female members who to marry. So bring two names or bring three names of suitors, those who are trying to marry you. And then they will bring it to the pastor or to the prophet. And they will say, let me go and pray. I'll go and fast and pray 7 days or 3 days. You two fast and pray. And then it will be spiritual. Monini, 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 monini. That's gambling. Gambling is dangerous. It will connect you to the devil. Because the word Lock and Lucifer, they come from the same root word. And they both operate on the principle of gambling. That's why, man, I have bad examples. I don't like them. People have married wrongly. They have married someone else's problem. And it has become their own problem. Because when you marry, you are joined together. I'm not saying that's why every time people marry wrong. But it's one of the reasons, especially when you do things like that. There was a lady joined this church and she came to me after Bible study like this and said she wanted me to pray. She had this brother and this other brother, but wanted me to pray on the two of them and know the will of God. I said, no, I don't do that. We don't do that here. We don't practice it here. And I'm not going to do it. The fact that you have two people, well, if at all either of them is right, then one of them must be wrong. You go pray. Or you've been collecting gifts from the two of them. Now that's going to be more confusion. Because they've been collecting gifts. A child of God is not supposed to do certain things. What is right. It has no other name but right. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because some gifts are like golden handcuffs. They will put you in bondage. And then now when crunch time comes, you can't say no. Because the guy has invested heavily. Let's know what we're doing before we start praying to know the will of God so that our spirit man will not be clogged, won't be beclouded so that it can be clear. So to train your spirit to be led by the Spirit of God and to discern the voice of God. First of all, let me tell you, it is safe to follow your spirit. Very safe. If and only if your spirit is trained. So I want to teach you the training, but I'm now telling you that one of the benefits of training your spirit is that it will become a safe guide for you. Very safe. Such that whatever, when people tell you things and you pray, and you look, sometimes you don't even pray, you look inwards. You say, mm-mm. A very good proposal, but I don't have peace in my spirit. You can follow your spirit. Let me show you a scripture. We'll come back to Joshua 1, and we'll come back to my point number 1. Joshua 1:8, you can write it down already. But let's go to Acts of the Apostles and chapter 27, when Paul was engaged in a voyage. They were going to travel, and Paul could perceive in his spirit. Acts 27 and verse 10. Okay, thank you. I have it marked. Now, let me read verse 1 and then I'll read verse 10. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, it was determined, a decision had been made. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. Now, go to verse 10. Let me take it from verse 9. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. What did he say? And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage not only to the laden and shape, but also of our lives. How did they perceive that? Spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. When there is going to be a danger ahead, God will witness that to your spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, it will witness that to your spirit that there is danger ahead of this journey. Now, you may choose to say, no, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I can go anywhere. All right? And then get into trouble. To perceive in your spirit. That's why your spirit must not be dull to perceive. Along the line in this series, we'll be talking about things that can make your spirit man dull of perception. There are activities you may engage in that will dull the perception of your spirit, so that even when God is in the meeting, you can't feel God. Everybody's saying, oh, God is here. Praise God. Oh, ablaze. What a period of encounter. God really came. Oh, really, did he? I just know we had a nice time. Ah, a nice time in replacement for an encounter. Such things happen when the spirit is dull of perception. Paul perceived. He didn't get information from the jailer or from the sailor or from anybody outside. He got the information, inside information from the Holy Spirit in his own spirit man. He said, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt. The hurt will be much. We are really going to get wounded. And then there will be much damage. And it is not only going to be of the goods, of the property we put on the ship, but also of the ship. But it won't stop there, because the devil is a maximum destroyer. He can wipe out an entire family one day if they allow him. And, but also of our lives. This guy wants to destroy our lives. I perceive. This perception was what I had on Sunday, the 5th of October. As I got up 3 a.m. to pray, and I was meant to go to the saying to go and preach. Was I going to do God's work? Yes. Was I going to preach the word of God to lives? Yes. To corpus, NCCF. Was that a good thing? Yes. But was that where God wanted me on that day? I can tell you no. By virtue of what happened after. I was praying in the spirit, and I was trying to listen, but I didn't get a release. The more I prayed, the harder I prayed, the more I felt like, look, I needed to stay back. I needed to be in Ibadan. I told someone already to preach in church. Lord, what do you want me to do in Ibadan? Until I went downstairs and I got waylaid by one of my neighbors. Not waylaid in the negative sense, you know. She came out of her flat and, oh, pastor, we need to go and look at this guy at the back. That's the security man. And I knew something was wrong with him the previous evening. But I thought, okay, maybe that could wait. But by the time we got there and the guy was not answering our call, we knew there was trouble. And long story short, I had to get him to the hospital. We prayed to stabilize him. And then we had to get him to the hospital so that the doctors could do their work. His PCV was already 16%. He was gradually entering coma. He didn't know the PIN of his mobile phone anymore. At some point, he didn't know me anymore. He didn't know any of us. He would have died that day. If I had gone to his saying, I'd probably have returned to meet a dead man in the house. And that would mean a lot of trouble. And on the estate, you're going to have a new name. You're driving by and they say, oh, that's the man. Oh, you don't know that man? The man that the security man died in their house. You are just taking a walk on your own in the evening. And they say, what happened to them? They say, their security man died. Bad news. spreads very fast. And I don't want bad news around me. I perceived, like Paul perceived in the spirit, I perceived in my spirit. How then do you train your spirit to be able to perceive? That's what I'm now teaching you. You see, after training your spirit, you can follow your spirit. It's a safe guide because your spirit is born again. Your spirit is recreated after God. When you give your life to Christ, it was your spirit that got born again, not your flesh. If you were black, the day you got born again, did you turn yellow or fair-skinned? No. Did you turn white? No. Did you gain more height? No. Did you become bigger? No. It had nothing to do with your flesh. In fact, your flesh doesn't want to change. It wants to keep going on in rebellion. Your spirit got born again. Your spirit started going after God. Your spirit started loving God. But you need to know how to train that spirit. Some of us have learned how to train the body. We go to the gym, pump iron. You train the body, which is good. You exercise, train your body. That is good. And then you train your mind by going to school, by reading books, going for seminars, exposing yourself to information on the internet. You're training your mind. Some of you are making good money now because your mind has been trained. What's the difference between you and your twin sister who didn't go to school? Because you've got training. When two people stand and you've never met them before, can you tell what their professions are? You can't tell. If they are both neatly dressed, they are both looking good. One of them is a medical doctor. The other one is maybe he's even jobless. He has no job at all. And he has no degree. So what is the difference between them? The training. This one has been trained for 6 years in medical school. This one has got no training. And that has affected maybe their income. But that is not to say that is what affects income every time. Because some people didn't even go to school at all. They are traders. They are in Agbeni. They are in Ogunpa. The kind of money they have, medical doctors don't have it. But they also have another kind of training. The training of how to trade. Which doctors don't have. Are you getting what I'm saying? But that is still the mental realm. Your mind is trained. Your spirit must be trained. So back to how to train your spirit, because I want to maximize my time. Number one, I said by meditating on the word of God, by meditation on the word of God, or by meditating on the word of God. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 on the screen, please. Now, let's note these words very carefully. The Lord said this to Joshua right after the death of Moses. Moses, a man of God. Moses, the meekest man. Moses, who saw God face to face. You know, of course, at least saw his back parts. Like the Lord said, you can't see me face to face and live, but saw the back parts of God, saw the goodness of God. Amen. Such encounter, such a great man. Nobody wants him to go. Nobody wants to lose a leader like that. But Moses died, and God buried him. Until today, the Bible says nobody knows where God buried him because God did the funeral of Moses. What a man. What a man. Now, who will take over from this kind of man? You see, when you are taking over from a failure, you can easily shine because you can turn, if you learn all the places where your predecessor made mistakes, you can fix them and then you have good results. Am I right about that? And then you become an overnight superstar. Say, that business is growing now. Oh, that ministry is growing very fast now. You've learned where the other person failed. But to take over from a successful person, I mean, you look at it, look at yourself, this person has been successful in every area. How can I ever build on this? How can I make this success bigger? And it can be bigger, really. With the help of God, it can be bigger. Now, God called Joshua into the ministry. Let's even look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, very few people were referred to as the servant of the Lord or the man of God in the Bible. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, because today there are servants of the devil who call themselves servants of the Lord. So if the Holy Spirit wrote it in the Bible that somebody was a servant of the Lord, you must know for sure that he was a servant of the Lord. Is that clear? All right. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. God broke the news of Moses' death to Joshua. God had told Moses to go up to Mount Nebo, and there he moved on. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, over 4 million people. God was making Joshua their leader. Thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. God now made a promise. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. What a promise. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now you can take that to the bank and cash it. These were words directly from the mouth of Yahweh. Look, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. My goodness. You can get out on the field and do things because you know that as he was with Moses, he is with me. But that's not all. God now said to him, which is also saying to all of us, be strong. Because to be successful in life, you have to be strong. To not die premature, you have to be strong. To not be someone that starts something and you never complete it at all. Many people are great starters in life, they are never good finishers. You have to be strong because in the middle there will be storm. When some people start a program, start a course, you know, buy a course online, after 3 weeks, I can't cope, it's too much. My head is full, I can't. Who told you you can't? Do you know the mass of neurons that make up your brain? Do you know the number of neurons that make up your brain? If you are still using your brain for 1 million years, it will still be potent, but nobody lives up to 1 million years. There's a lot that God packaged into this thing. When you study the brain, you don't have to be a medical student. Just go online and study the functions of the brain. You'll be amazed what God loaded in this thing called brain. Greater than your brain is your spirit. Because that is what God contacts when he wants to lead you. Doesn't contact your brain. Information can now travel from your spirit to your mind and then to your brain to know how to now press the right buttons. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Now, God said to him, be strong, because you need to be strong and of a good courage. For unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. In verse 7, the Lord repeated what he said in verse 6. Only be thou strong and very courageous. He told him in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. In verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. If you are going to build anything that will last, a leadership that will last, a ministry, a business, a family, whatever, an enterprise, whatever you're going to build that will last, that will be successful and that will last, you need to be strong, you need to be courageous to build a relationship. Listen, guys and ladies, to build relationships are not for the lily-livered. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Then one day, he wakes up and says, I don't love you anymore. No, you deserve a slap. You don't love her anymore? For what? I don't feel the vibes. Those are weaklings. Don't marry such a guy. Run away from him. Because he will get into another relationship, and after a while, the feelings will go again. And when the feelings go, he's no longer interested. You should ask questions when somebody comes to you. How many relationships have you had? lest I be like one of them. And you know some people know how to raise people's up, raise the up very high, and then bash it. Don't do like that. You know, when I counsel people that want to get married, you know, mentor them, and I talk to them about all these things. After a while in marriage, you don't feel married, though. At some point in marriage, you won't feel married. You know, the butterfly in my belly kind of feeling that you feel when you are just getting married, and then, you know, making preparations for wedding and all that. Your planner is calling you. Your friends are calling. Congrats, babe. You don't get that some 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line. Now you face reality. Now you suddenly discover that he can't cook, but he can boil water. Glory be to God. Now you suddenly, that's not even bad. All right? We can buy food. We can take care of that. But now you discover that when he starts a project, he never follows through. He starts reading the book. He won't complete it. You discover that when he's brushing his teeth, he farts. No, I can't deal with that. No, you got to deal with it. You have to be strong. His socks are smelly. He can wear one sock for 3 months. You have to be strong. It will shock you why people divorce. You say, oh no, I can't cope. You can't what? It's not for the lily-livered. I didn't know she was this crazy. You have to be strong, man. You manage a craze. You learn to manage it. You know, I will divorce. We have to go a different ways. You printed IV with money. You paid a caterer. Paid the DJ, paid the MC. Those guys know how to collect money. Paid everybody, and then people bought Ankara. You have to give us our money back, oh. All of us will collect our money from you. You know, and some guys don't mind. I think that's why they say it's very difficult in the Jewish culture to divorce. In the Jewish culture, they will tell you, I don't know how true this is, but I've heard someone say that before. I haven't studied it myself, so don't take my word for it. You can go and do your research. But I learned that when they want to, like a couple say they want to divorce, they will tell them, go and bring everybody that witnessed the marriage. Everybody has to witness the divorce. On my wedding day, I had my wedding in this hall, 4th December 2010. Some 14 years ago, going to be 15 this December. My mom was sitting here. My uncle was sitting next to my mom. And I remember that I got emotional. I shed some tears that day as I looked back. And my wife was asking me, why are you? I said, because my dad was supposed to be there. You know, but my uncle was wearing the agbada that my dad was supposed to be wearing. I mean, it should be my dad. Well, the uncle and the mom are in heaven now. And a couple of people that were in that wedding have gone. So, in that situation, how do you bring everybody? In other words, they are practically telling you it's impossible to divorce. Stay. My father and the Lord will say marriage is like ogbono soup or okra soup. As you try to come out of it, you go back into it. As you try to come out, because you have been wedlocked. If you are padlocked, we can use the key to unlock you. But when you have been wedlocked, even divorce is not easy. The process of divorce in the court of law is not easy. A friend of mine that is divorced, she said to me, "Hey, Pastor Fred, at all costs, please, don't even consider it." We were talking about, said, you know, in the court, in the course of divorce, you will say everything. Things that are private. You will say to the judge, and the court clerks are there, the policemen, other people who are not supposed to know about your matter, who came to court for another matter, will be hearing every detail, every dirty detail. It is belittling, it is demeaning. And it is so because they really don't want you to divorce. So now, what I'm teaching you is how to train your spirit. It will help you also in the choice of life partner. It will help you in choosing a career. You remember our guest minister during Ablaze, the one that came from Lagos, Minister Kunle Obasa? He's a lawyer. He says, but no engineer is more of an engineer than myself right now. That's part of being led by the Spirit of God. Because some people are so dogmatic that, no, I read engineering, I will die as an engineer. Meanwhile, other opportunities will open up outside of engineering. Now, somebody read law, and God opened up opportunities outside of law. Imagine, no, I'm a lawyer. I was trained as a lawyer. I was born as a lawyer. I will die as a lawyer. Then you die broke. The kind of money he's making in engineering, law has not given him that money. But he started from law. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you understand that sometimes we evolve? Do you understand that there are certain potential you carry and you are not even aware yet? And one thing will happen that will make you discover something that you carry. More often than not, problems. A problem will happen and you will solve it, or you arise to the occasion and then it will shock you. Ah, so I could do that. Pointing to something. And some say, oh, it was just a happenstance. It was just a coincidence. And they walk away. Meanwhile, that should open them up to the next chapter of their lives. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not as many as claim that they are sons of God. I know I'm born again. I was born again on the 15th of September, 1965, at 3 p.m. Who laid hands on you when you got born again? That's not what we're talking about. Are you being led by the Spirit of God? So, your spirit needs to be trained. Now, look at Joshua. God said to him, be strong. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God said, do the commandment. Do the commandment. Do the commandment that Moses gave you. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, because people will make you want to turn to the left. People will make you want to turn to the right. Circumstances will make you want to bend the truth sometimes. He said, no, stay upright, do the commandment. Then God now gave him verse 8, which is where we're going for tonight. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Out of where? Out of where? Out of where? Which means you read it, which means you don't only read it, you speak it. You mutter it, right? Out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. You must talk the word. You must talk the word. You must talk the word. Don't only quote Google, Siri, AI. AI. Huh? Talk the word. Talk the word. Talk the word. AI doesn't know your future. Hello, AI. Can you tell me what I can become in the future? It will guess. And if you follow the guess, you wind up in trouble. AI was not there when God created you. He said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Jeremiah 1:8. Are you getting what I'm saying? 1:6-8. That's Jeremiah. We're in Joshua now. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Not these words. You need to observe to do. You need to be intentional about doing it. Don't rush. Observe to do. Observe to do. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Prosperous. Good success. Did God want Joshua to be prosperous? I didn't get your response. Did God want Joshua to have good success? Why would God be teaching Joshua how to be prosperous if God didn't want him to be prosperous? Why would God teach him how to have good success if God didn't want him to have good success? Now, if God wanted Joshua to be prosperous and to have good success, May I ask you tonight, does God want you to be prosperous? Does God want you to be successful? Or does he want you to be at the bottom of the barrel and the barrel is on top of you? God never created any of us as failures. God doesn't create failures. Remember one of the things we heard during Ablaze? God is a creator. He made us in his image and likeness, and we must also be creators. And if God didn't create failure, we also must not create failure. Do you understand that? Now, so, my point number one, how do I train my spirit? Number one, by meditating on the word day and night. It's not enough to do day. To do day is good, but it's a starting point. In the night also, do it. It doesn't have to be for a long time. You can start 10 minutes every day. Make it your moment of meditation. Do you realize that children of the devil are meditating now? People are doing all kinds of meditation. They do soul travel, yoga, or etc., etc. I don't know much about yoga, but I don't think it's something that sounds Christian. Sit down on the net, they cross their legs. And some of them lift their hands and they throw their hands in the air. And it all looks esoteric. When people do such things, they contact another realm. The devil is waiting very easily. We don't need to do all of that. You don't need to have a special mat. Your bed is good enough. You can meditate on your bed. Lie down and meditate. Think on the scriptures. You have a particular word, a particular scripture. I will show you what I'm thinking on right now. You think on it. As you think on it, you ponder on it. As you ponder on it, put your picture. Picture yourself inside that scripture that you can see that this is you. And don't stop there. Speak it. The word meditate in the Hebrew is Hagar. Hagar does not only mean to think, to ponder. It also means to M-U-T-T-E-R, to mutter. American pronunciation. Mutter. British. Mutter. Nigeria. M-U-T-T-E-R. So choose your pronunciation. Mutter. Mutter. It also means to muse. In other words, speak it. Speak it to yourself. You can speak it quietly. And if you like, speak it loud. It's your mouth. Huh? And this is speaking to you. Speak it. Speak it. You must make time for meditation. I remember the Holy Spirit revealed to me years ago as we were praying for Ablaze. He said, revelation is in the womb of meditation. Like a baby is in the womb of a woman. A man doesn't have a womb. A man has stomach, tummy, pot belly, belly, six packs, whatever he has. Whatever a man has cannot carry a baby. He carries food. But a woman, as part of her makeup, has something called a womb. And when a woman gets pregnant, a baby starts to form a whole human being. That was your first accommodation. That was my first accommodation for 9 months. For free. Free rent, no rent. We're not paying rent. Free food. Food was coming. I guess through the umbilical cord. Right? So, that was our first accommodation. In the womb of a woman is a baby. A pregnant woman, I mean. Revelation is in the womb of meditation. When you meditate, you will get revelation. You will get light. You will see something that God is saying. And then you can take it up from there to step number two, which I will take when we resume in 2 weeks' time, which is to practice the word. But I want to stop on meditation tonight. Let me show you a scripture the Lord showed me. Now, before I go there, meditation, you know, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. In Old Testament is Hagar or Suwak. In New Testament is Meletao or Meletao. And you know, Paul said to Timothy, he said, meditate on these things. Meditate on them. Why? So that your profiting may appear to all. Meditate on them. Let me look at that scripture, 1 Timothy, and I think it's chapter 3 now. Get there before me, let me know. Or 2 Timothy. No, it should be. Am I in 2 Timothy? I'm in 2 Timothy, can you imagine? I quoted 1 Timothy. Am I in Thessalonians? Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Lord have mercy, where's that my scripture? It's one of my favorite. Meditate on these things. Second Timothy chapter 1. Is somebody there before me? We'll get it. If we don't get it, we're not going home tonight. This looks like it, but it's not what I'm looking for. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. It sounds like it, but that's not what I'm looking for. Meditate. Meditate on these things. 1 Timothy 4. God bless you. You got it right. 4:15. 4:15. Now, 13. Let's take it from 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. One of my favorite scriptures. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. You know, this sounds like what we have in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Don't neglect the gift in you. So that's my link. I know when it talks about don't neglect the gift in you, it talks about meditation somewhere around that arena. But it talked about it twice, right? Which was given thee by prophecy, which with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Why? That your profiting may appear to all. Your profiting appearing to all. Does it not sound like so that you may be prosperous and have good success? Same thing God said to Joshua. Paul was saying to Timothy, his protege in the faith. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Meditate upon these things. The word meditate here is meletao. The same meaning. Ponder. Think. Speak it. Now, let me show you a scripture that the Lord showed me as I was meditating on the scriptures and thinking about this project, this 150 million project that we have. It is God's word that will produce the money. Amen? It is not by pressuring people to pressure the word. The word produced the money we spent for Ablaze. 2 weeks to Ablaze, we had 300 and something thousand. We needed 4 million. 2 weeks to Ablaze. 2 weeks. How do you raise that kind of money? At the last count that the budget was done, I asked Zacchaeus to do the expenses after Ablaze. We spent 3,950 something. Like just about 50,000 short of 4 million. And all of this came in 2 weeks. Was there pressure? Yes. Why don't you call somebody? Why don't you talk to somebody? Why don't you? Suggestions were coming. I kept using my faith. I said to Zacchaeus, we pressure the word. We pressure the word. We can only appeal to people. Make sure you pledge and redeem your pledge. Make sure you are part of this. But the source where it will come from will be the word. And where will 150 million come from? From the word. And the Lord showed me this after Ablaze. I was just meditating and rejoicing in the Lord. Deuteronomy 33 is actually one of my favorite. There are blessings there that Jacob the patriarch in Genesis 49 released on his 12 sons. Then Moses picked them up later and then released them again on the children of Israel. So this was Moses' version. Now, in verse 28, the Lord actually opened my eyes. I've been reading this for years, but the Lord just opened my eyes to see this. And I want you to go home tonight and meditate on this. And put yourself in the picture. And put the church of God in the picture. And if you have a personal project, put yourself in the picture. And put your life in this picture. Israel, Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 28. I've left Genesis 49. God bless you, media. Israel shall dwell in safety alone. So we can say, I've been saying, Expression House shall dwell in safety alone. And you can put your name there. PFE shall dwell in safety alone. And I pray this for my wife and for my children. And for all my leaders in the Expression House and all the workers in the Expression House and all the members of the Expression House and all the first-timers of the Expression House and all the converts of the Expression House. So, we shall dwell in safety. Amen? Now, it goes on to say, the fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. We will be upon a land, our fountain shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Corn used to make bread, and then wine. Sounds like communion. But again, this is symbolizing prosperity. This is symbolizing supernatural provision. God said, you are not going to be established on a land of scarcity and scarceness. He said, you are going to be established on the land of corn and wine. Now, he will sustain you with corn and wine. Can I have an amen? Meaning, we will not lack. God is not the author of lack. He said, the fountain of Jacob shall be. So, the fountain of the Expression House. And you can put your name there. The fountain of my life shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also, imagine this. In addition to this blessing, his heavens shall drop down dew. No more dryness. When you wake up in the morning and there is dew on the grass, you can't deny it. When you walk on the grass, your legs, your feet will be wet because dew has dropped from heaven. May the dew of heaven drop upon your life. If the land was dry before, when dew drops on it, does it remain dry? No. So when the blessing descends on you, can anybody dispute it? No. They can't argue it because it will be evident on your life. Imagine this. Then I go to the next verse. Happy are thou, oh, Expression House, who is like unto thee? I shout this when I'm alone in my house. Oh, people saved by the Lord. Does that not sound like us? We are a people saved by the Lord. And our internet audience. The shield of thy help. The Lord is the shield of our help. So we never lack help. Did you hear what I said? Because the Lord is the shield of our help. Our help doesn't come from uncle, auntie. God will use anybody he wants to use, but our help is from the Lord. Listen, the longest day you live, don't ever take away your eyes from your source. God is your source. Did you hear what I said? God is the source. Every other person, every other human being that God uses is a resource. Did you? Get the difference? Everything comes from God. God is the source. Psalm 36 and verse 9. For with you is the fountain of life, the source of life. And in your light shall we see light. God is the source. Now, when blessings, ideas, help is flowing or are flowing from the source, sometimes they go through resources. Resources. That's why you hear of human resource management. That's why you hear of resource persons. They are not source persons. Because the knowledge that a resource person wants to give you, he got it from somewhere. Most likely from his lecturer or from someone, his mentor. That mentor also got it from someone else. That person also got it from someone else. And if you trace it, the last person got it from God. God is the source. Amen? Make it your life mantra. God is my source. I will never run dry because God is my source. Everybody that God uses for me is a resource. Are you getting what I'm saying? Is a resource. At best, they are channels. They are not the source. They are channels. Your pastor can be a channel of blessing. Every pastor is supposed to be a channel of blessing, not a channel of the curse. Your friends are supposed to be channels of blessing. You are supposed to be a channel yourself. You are going to go. You are supposed to be a channel of blessing to other people. You're not just looking for who to help you. No, there's a change of mentality that comes when you meditate on God's word. You're looking for who to help. You're looking for how to be a blessing to someone else. And that tweak in thinking must happen for you to enjoy the reality of God's blessing on your life. You must have a tweak in your thinking. What do I mean? A renewal of your mind by the word. Everything comes by the word. The help comes by the word. The renewal of the mind comes by the word. For example, now, you are not the sick looking for healing. You are the healed of the Lord, whom Satan is trying to make sick. And you must say, no, I am not going to be sick. I'm not going to permit sickness in my body. I'm not going to permit lack in my life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let's finish this scripture and then wrap it up. Happy art thou, O expression house. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help? And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. They'll be found liars. Whatever they say is a lie. It won't hold. The devil tells you, you're going to die young. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. It won't hold in the name of Jesus. You're going to die broke. It's a lie. It's not going to hold in the name of Jesus. Come on. You know somebody died in your family of sickness? And you know, you're the next person. No, it's not going to happen. Can I have an amen to that? Say, your enemies shall be found liars unto thee. And what do we do to liars? The word of God tells us the mouth of the liars shall be stopped. You stop their mouth. And thou shalt tread upon their high places. Amen. Meditation. When you do this every day, you are training your spirit. You are taking your spirit to the gym. You are pumping iron by spending time. I don't do 10 minutes. I don't do 30 minutes. Minimum 1 hour. I mean, I can honestly confess to you tonight, this is how I get my messages. In the place of meditation. I'm meditating and the scripture is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Ah, Lord, if I stay on those two verses I just shared with you tonight, I'm gonna preach a message on that. And God, by the Holy Spirit, will lead me to other scriptures and then life examples. Oh, really? That's how I get it. I wonder, people who don't meditate, how they hear from God? Meditation. One of the blessings of meditation is that in the process of meditating, your mind will be rewired. Your mind will be renewed. And how you think is very important. It will determine the quality of your life. I've shared this before. I'll share it again. Final illustration for tonight. But I want you to get it by the help of the Holy Spirit. An American preacher asked a Jewish man, how come you're so successful? The man said, I don't understand your question. That, you know, I mean, you have big businesses. He said, yeah. Each of them is doing very well. He said, yes. How come? What's the secret? The Jewish man said, I don't still understand your question. You have a lot of money. You have property here and there. You have these. Everything you're doing is producing result. He said, yeah. He said, so I'm asking, how come? The man said, because I'm Jew. In his thinking, you can't separate being Jew from being successful. I'm being prosperous. I'm born Jew. Born successful. In other words, you don't see a Jewish seed that is poor. Whatever we do prospers is the covenant. What the American preacher was doing unconsciously and unknown to him was that he was trying to separate in the Jewish man's mind, he was trying to separate being Jew from being successful. That is, you can be Jew and not be successful. But the Jewish man was not trained like that. He was trained that because you are Jew, you have to be successful. Because you are Jew. So if a Jew is a barber, is the most successful barber. He's a barber. He's barbing people's hair. Eh? But he's going to be very successful. If he's selling water, pure water, eh? He's going to be on the top. Others will be coming to buy water from him. They will travel several kilometers, go and buy his water. There is water everywhere. They won't stop there. They say, until we get to you. Why? Because being Jew, based on the covenant that God has with Abraham, will attract customers to him. And he believes that, and he lives in that reality. So he opens his shop every day, expecting customers to come. Hear what I said? Now, but God, why come? You're only the Jew? No. Galatians 3:29. Permit me, just 2-3 minutes, I'm done. If ye be Christ, then are ye Jews spiritually. Abraham's seed. That's who you are. The Jews say we are Abraham's seed. Paul said, if you are Christ, you are a Jew. Amen. You are Abraham's seed and heirs. What does it mean to be a heir? Someone that is entitled to an inheritance according to the promise. Which promise? The promise that God made to Abraham. When God said, in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed, God made the promise to Abraham and made it to Christ. He was referring to Christ as the seed of Abraham. And everyone and anyone that accepts Christ tonight becomes Abraham's seed and becomes prosperous. You can lay hold on all the promises. Not only prosperity, healing. I'm born that way. I will never pray to God, Lord, make me a man. I'm a man. I was born that way. I was born a man. I know who I am. I'm not confused about my identity. I'm not transgender. No. I'm a man. I'm a full man. Can I have an amen to that? If you're a man in the house and you know you're a man, can I get your amen? If you're a woman in this house and you know you're a woman, can I get your amen? Now, women, do you have to pray, Lord, make me a woman? However, you need some training. Growing up. So, I'm training my son. I won't just leave him alone because he's born as a man. Let him discover life himself. No, I'm training him. And my wife is training my daughter. One of the trainings that my wife is giving her is how to sit every time they fight over it. Sit like a lady. Learn to sit like a lady. Because there's a way ladies sit. Ladies can't afford to sit like a man. A man can. So one leg is in the north, the other one is in the south. Sometimes when I go to my son's room, the guy will not sleep properly on his bed. He's the only one in his room. He's the owner of the bed. He will choose to, he can sleep across. I have to tap him. Oga, put your head on the pillow. You put it in the morning, the pillow, he's putting his legs on the pillow, his head is the other way. A man can do, after a while, he will adjust. But you can't afford to leave a lady like that. When you go to my daughter's room, she's in her pajamas and she's, and sometimes she's hugging her teddy. You know, being like a lady. Lady, everything lady. Like, oh, come on. You can't just barge into my room. Oh, hello. Let me burn you. Oh, no, daddy. You can knock. Oh, okay. Spread your legs. You have to keep your legs together. That's part of the training. Now, come to the kitchen. Come and join me. Look at how we are doing this. Training. Children of God also need to learn, need to train. Even though we are born again, prosperous, born again, healed, we are not the sick. Mm-mm. Looking for healing all over the place. Now we have Christ. The day you gave your life to Christ, that day, every blessing of redemption came into you. You got it. Can I have an amen? It includes healing. It includes restoration. It includes the wisdom of God. It includes prosperity. It includes deliverance. You got everything that day, but you need training so that you can enjoy the fullness of what you got at redemption. You are not the sick looking for healing. Why am I not the sick? You were not born that way. When I mean born again. The day I got born again, I got born healed. Born healed, born prosperous, born wise. Can I have an amen to that? So the devil will come and tell you, oh no, you are sick, you need healing. Meaning that healing is outside of you. Go and get it somewhere. Oh no, I am not going to get it somewhere. It is who I am. Who I am is healed. Who I am is prosperous. So I am not going to do business so that I can chase prosperity. No, it is who I am. And because I am prosperous, I do business. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't do business to become prosperous. I am already prosperous in Christ. And so whatever I do, then prospers. Hear what I said? Go ahead and get all the training you want again. Get all the training. But don't forget to train your spirit. Go ahead and acquire qualifications. It is not those things that make you. Jesus makes you. Then those things add. They add. They become channels through which blessings flow. We don't go to work to hustle like hustlers. We are already blessed. So we work. Amen? And then because we have given God an avenue for the blessing to flow, but it's already who we are. And we are not going to be lazy with it. So we give it expression. Did you get what I said tonight? Don't forget that Jewish man illustration. In his mind, once you are Jewish, you are prosperous. Once you are Jewish, you are supposed to be the head, not the tail. The Jewish people live in the best places around the world where they live. I've seen their habitation where they live in North Carolina and Charlotte. They live in the richest places of the city. They drove me there. I say, Pastor Fred, the Jewish, that's their community. In fact, the house where I stayed temporarily, they own the estate. They own estate. In the name of Jesus, we are going to own estates. Not trying to be covetous, but it is part of our inheritance in Christ. We win souls. It's part of our inheritance in Christ. Stand, everybody. Amen. Go and start training your spirit from tonight by meditating on the Word of God. Do I have your commitment tonight? I want a people that are serious. And I want to be able to ask you in 2 weeks' time, on Thursday the 6th of November, that how many of you for 2 weeks have been meditating an average of 30 minutes daily? You have a busy schedule, you go to work early, wake up earlier and do it. It's sweetest when you do it early in the morning, 30 minutes. Or you can do it in the afternoon, you can do it in the evening. But as a matter of fact, I want you to do it twice daily, in the morning and in the evening. So you can split your 30 minutes to 15 minutes, but you stay on the scripture. Can I have your commitment? How many of you? You are doing this before the Lord. You are doing this before the head of the church.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.